Get nasty and touch your body. Get nasty and tell your friends. Get nasty, but don't tell your mama. Ron Burgundy is one bad man. Who? Ha! Ron Burgundy Podcast. Oh, yes. Oh, I wake up to that song every morning, and it really gives me a jolt. Hello, this is Ron Burgundy, and welcome once again to the Ron Burgundy Podcast. Carolina, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Ron. Thanks for asking.
Are you just good or great?
I'm good.
Why not great? Because I'm great. Guess what I did yesterday?
I don't know. What did you do?
I got my back waxed. Now, what would you say a typical waxing would cost? You should know, right?
I don't.
Being a lady and all.
Okay. Well, I guess if you go to a decent spot, It will cost you anywhere, I'm guessing.
Yeah, ballpark.
$75 to $100.
Bingo! I got my waxing done for $4. My entire back.
Oh, really?
For four measly bucks.
Okay. Oh, you know what? That makes sense. Because you're bleeding a little bit through the back of your shirt.
That means it was a good waxing. They got the entire hair follicle.
If you say so.
I know so.
Ron, how long has it been bleeding?
It's been bleeding all night long.
Okay, you shouldn't go cheap on waxing.
I had to throw my sheets out. My bed.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But listen, don't lecture me on my body. It's my body.
I know, but if you can afford a healthier and safe waxing salon, then...
For your information, this wasn't a salon. It was an auto collision repair shop / bird breeder. So there. Now, where was I? Oh, right. One of the great things about this podcast, which sets it apart from 3 or 4 other podcasts out there... On this show, it's a chance for 2 American icons to chat one-on-one with each other candidly.
I didn't know you thought of me as an American icon.
No, hold on. Okay. I'm not done. To call my next guest an American icon would actually be an understatement. She began her show business career when she was only 11 months old as a model for Ivory Soap. Can you imagine that? 11 months old.
It's amazing.
It's incredible. This blatant disregard for child labor laws catapulted her into stardom. At 12, she starred in the breakout film Pretty Baby, directed by Louis Malle.
Oh, Ron, it's actually Louis Malle. You're mispronouncing it.
Are you sure? Oh, because look at this. That reads, if you look there, that reads Louis Malle to me. How would you pronounce this?
I'm pretty sure it's Louis Malle. He's an acclaimed French filmmaker, actually.
Is he? Well, did he direct any of the Cannonball Run movies?
No, but I can fact check that.
See if Louis Malle directed any Cannonball Run movies. Can you do that, Carolina?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I'm in the middle of my guest introduction.
I know.
It's supposed to be a big build-up to a discussion between 2 American icons, and you've really disrupted the flow. So, can I finish this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. She was the youngest fashion model to ever appear on the cover of Vogue. A regular at famed New York discotheque, Studio 54. And then for some crazy reason, she decided to leave all that fun and excitement of modeling and starring in movies to attend Princeton University. Wow. Is this a typo? Is this real?
No, that's true.
This is not a move I would have made. No way. Well, we'll have to talk about that. Anyway, she's an absolute legend. You know her from everything from The Blue Lagoon to Suddenly Susan. It is my extreme honor to welcome to the Ron Burgundy Podcast the iconic Brooke Shields. But first, let's take a commercial break. And we are back. Ron Burgundy Podcast. As I mentioned before, what an exciting episode. We are with an icon, Brooke Shields. Brooke, how are you today? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Brooke, I'm sorry. If you'll hold on for a second, I need to do a live commercial read. I know you just got on the phone, but I just have to kind of take care of business here. Squatty Potty. It's that little stool you put in your bathroom to make sure you're using the toilet correctly when you're doing a number 2. Okay. You know what, Caroline? I don't want to have to read this ad right now, not with Brooke Shields online. Can we just do this later?
absolutely could have read it later. That was a decision you just made on your own.
What's done is done. Brooke Shields, let me just ask you this about your name, Brooke. Is it short for Brookline, Massachusetts?
It's actually not, but my mom, she liked a photograph, and the photographer was named Christian Brooks, I think. And so she liked the name Brooke, and she...
So you're not, let's put this to rest, you're not from Brookline, Massachusetts.
I'm not. I'm from
Where were you born?
Born and raised in Manhattan.
Oh, okay. Well, then who am I thinking was born in Brookline, Massachusetts? That's an American icon. You know who I'm thinking of? It's Michael Dukakis. Never mind.
Oh, yes. You know, I went to school with Andrea, his daughter.
Oh my gosh. Were you so nervous around Andrea all the time because her father was Michael Dukakis, an American icon?
You know what? She's really, really bright. And so her family is really bright.
I'm sure. I try to not hang out with people who are smarter than me because I get sweaty palms and...
It can be intimidating.
It's formidable. It's formidable.
It's a good word. If you use that word with smart people, I think...
Well, thank you. See, Carolina, I am. Like Brooke thinks I'm smart.
Ron wrote formidable down on a pad and has been waiting to use it all day.
Good. It's the word a day. Maybe you should do a word every day.
I wrote formidable. And then right next, the word I'm going to use tomorrow is coccyx, which is the medical term for your tailbone.
That would be more appropriate for the potty day.
That's true. Brooke, you've had such an impressive career, and you truly are an American icon, and it feels like it's impossible that we'll have time to cover everything. So forgive me if I ask you about some of the things you've talked about a zillion times before, okay? I think people will kill me if I am interviewing Brooke Shields and I didn't ask you about the big stuff. So let's get right into it, all right? Tell me about your 2013 guest appearance on the ABC sitcom Super Fun Night. I'm sure that's the first thing people come up to you and they say Super Fun Night.
I can't go through a week without people mentioning me. It's become a cult.
Brooke, I want to talk about modeling.
Okay.
I think there's a huge misconception that, you know, modeling is easy. But I know from experience, it's actually very hard work. And you started so young. Do you remember your first big modeling gig where you really felt like, whoa, I am a model?
I remember getting a cover try.
Oh, a cover try.
For,
yes.
Yes, 17 magazine. And that, I was so excited about it and I didn't get it.
And it was crushing.
It was crushing to me.
Yes.
And within the next year or so, I then finally got the cover. And I remember thinking, I'm the real deal.
You felt
because I've been doing catalogs. It was my first sort of major.
You were part of the club. I was invited
to the party.
I'll tell you the first time I felt like a model of, and of course I've been doing some male modeling over the years, but the first big one for me had to be in 1975, and I did a print campaign for Virginia Slims, the cigarettes.
Oh.
Yes.
Uh
huh. And I'm sure you're wondering. Excuse me, Ron Burgundy was an in an advertisement for Lady Cigarettes? Yes, I was.
But you were ahead of your time.
I mean, was ahead of my time. I loved the product, too.
They were sexy. Definitely a sexy approach. So which seems very appropriate.
You know what? I really appreciate that because I used to walk around and smoke, you know, the small, thin, little Virginia Slims, and people would give me a lot of flack. But I don't necessarily need needed back then a full cigarette.
And clearly comfortable in your masculinity.
Well, that's exactly right. And thank you for recognizing that. And I also, I felt a responsibility to do it as a journalist. So I ask you, Brooke, are you comfortable with your femininity? Femininity? How do you say it?
You got it.
Femininity.
I have become much more so since having children, actually. Prior to kids.
Right.
I think just anything, femininity was also synonymous with beauty to me. And for a long time, I sort of didn't want to pay attention to the physical, to anything external, anything sort of, and part of being feminine was an external sort of expression of all that. And it wasn't until, I mean, really until I got pregnant and I started feeling that sense of female, I don't know, power.
Right.
And then the femininity sort of grew out of that, because I used to think, oh, I had to be the strong, tough one. So I was always, you know, the femininity was always also synonymous with frail and petite and dainty and waif-like, and I've never been those things.
Wearing white lace gloves and carrying a parasol out in the summertime.
Yes. Absolutely. And so that was, it took me a while to sort of appreciate how badass femininity can be.
You're not going to get an argument from me. I mean, you know, some say that I exude toxic amounts of masculinity, but I also have a feminine side, and I think every man does, and they shouldn't be afraid to embrace it. Do you agree?
I totally agree. In fact, I think it just highlights the masculinity in the right way. I think when they work in conjunction with each other, I think that's the sexiest.
Wow. Mm. I've started wearing lipstick once a week just to try it out.
Mm-hmm. You carry yourself then totally differently.
You totally do. You stand a little taller. Mm-hmm. People will
offer me a
seat on the city bus. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It shows a different side to people. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Yes. No, no. I try not to do that again, please.
I won't.
Okay.
I'm doing a show called a pilot. We're doing a pilot called Glamorous, and it's all about the makeup world, and it's all about what we were talking about, the sort of masculine and feminine and this celebration and kind of embracing it. And it's so refreshing. So
this is full circle. This is full circle here.
Yep.
We have to talk about your classic Calvin Klein jeans commercials. I mean, they are, let's face it, they are part of American pop cultural history. And I mean, how many years later and we're still talking about them, specifically because I'm bringing them up. And
okay.
But you said, and I quote, unless you want to say it, you said, you want to know what comes between me and my Calvins? And then you took a pause and said nothing. And my question is, what did you mean by that?
Well, first of all, you are one of the first people to properly quote it.
What do people usually say?
Because they have always said, nothing comes between me and my Calvins. Now, I'm sure I was probably really naive at that age anyway, but the idea of the whole series of commercials was that each sentence, each saying had a double meaning to it.
Oh.
So there was this hoopla about it, and they pulled the commercial because they said it meant I wasn't wearing any underwear.
Oh, boy.
They started playing with the spelling.
Get your mind out of the gutter, people.
Word, yeah.
Yes.
So it was, I thought it was pathetic, and yet the controversy surrounding it and the novelty of their approach in advertising is why when the new creative director, Raf Simons, who's now left, but when he came on, he brought back the image that was used in those ads.
So,
because it became like this pop icon-y, like you said, the iconography of it was brought sort of into the hip hop world.
Yeah, I have a t-shirt with your image on it.
It's kind of cool.
So cool.
I had to buy mine.
I had to buy mine too.
Yeah. It wasn't cheap. I was like, can't you guys give me one?
Wow, you had to buy your own t-shirt of yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How much was it? North of 50?
Like 120 or something like that.
120 for a t-shirt.
Definitely not.
That's a rip, right?
Well, you know that nothing's free.
Well, you just can't ever wear it or wash it.
I know, I'm afraid.
Yeah. What, did anyone ever try to steal your Calvin Klein jeans?
No, but I just found the original pairs. I had three of them. My mom kept everything.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I recently was going through a warehouse of stuff, literally, and she had this whole Calvin section.
I've kept every single mustache comb I've ever owned.
Just in case.
Just in case. Yeah.
Are some of them really pretty? Like, that might be really pretty.
Some of them are bejeweled. Some of them are.
Oh.
Sadly, I have to admit, a lot of them are made of ivory. I've contributed to the ivory.
Oh, so awful.
Ivory trade.
Yeah.
That's not.
Maybe it wasn't endangered then.
Maybe it wasn't. Let's just say that. And let's just say I didn't go hunt elephants so that I could get the tusks to make my own mustache comb. No, let's say that didn't happen, because it didn't.
Okay. Let's say it didn't. Okay.
But if I was in a court of law.
All right.
Let's get off this topic.
Okay.
You know, one time I had a pair of jeans stolen from me, and they weren't Calvin's. They were Lee jeans.
Oh.
Also a good brand. Yeah.
Levi's, Lee, the Wrangler, those were the originals.
Yeah, I had an incident with a Rottweiler. Tried to steal Lee jeans from me.
Were they on you?
They were on my person, yes.
Where was this?
This was at the Pasadena Rose Bowl swap meet.
Oh, no.
Oh, I love that swap meet.
In the Rottweiler section.
Oh, did he or she, does it matter?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a he. There was a big old set of balls on that one. Yep.
Oh.
He was supercharged with testosterone.
Sensing masculine.
Yep, and we had a showdown. You know what? I started the fight.
This is so much about the toxic masculinity we were just discussing.
So I went to the Rottweiler section of the Rose Bowl swap meet, and I just said, who wants a piece of me? I just was feeling a bit randy that day.
Yeah.
Rottweiler is an explosive, vicious animal. Beautiful.
Yes.
And you know, while the Rottweiler was pinning me down and ripping my Lee jeans to shreds, I remember thinking... I stopped screaming, and I remember thinking, this is a gorgeous animal. The power, the beauty, the majesty.
And it all went slow for a second.
Yeah, it all went slow.
Mm-hmm. It's that fight or flight, and everything
exactly.
just sort of slows down.
Everything slowed down. Brooke, let me ask you this. I'm going to radically change subjects here, or maybe not so, because you probably wore your Calvin Kleins to this place. Do you have any great memories of Studio 54?
I have... the best memories from Studio 54. I first went there with Steve Rubell and Calvin Klein, actually.
Oh, Steve Rubell. That guy didn't like me.
Yeah. No.
He never let me in.
No. Was he manning the door?
Yeah, he was manning the door. He said, Ron Burgundy, I don't like you. I will never let you in my nightclub. And, you know.
Oh, he's probably just jealous.
Obviously, that never happened to you.
No, and I never got subjected to the picking process.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I also always went really early. My mom would let
Smart.
Me go, but we would have to, I'd have to go home because I had school the next
day.
So
it was an early bird special.
Yeah. But I really, all I wanted to do was dance.
Would you get there what, 5 p.m.?
No, they didn't open the doors until later. So it was like 8. Like if there was an event, I could get there right on time. And then dance a few hours, I would just go directly to the dance floor, and then I'd go home. I mean, and the interesting thing was I was never offered any drugs. It was almost as if they were all on protection duty or something from me. Like I was like the mascot. I was sort of off.
Well, that's
limits.
Nice. They were looking out for you.
They were. I mean, it was the late 70s, early 80s, and it was
I know.
Crazy, but I felt I was protected. And, you know, it's interesting. There's a room that they call it's on the fourth floor.
The Dragon's Lair?
And I think it was. It was some druggy room or some lair of some kind. And I never went past the dance floor.
Right.
And then when I did Cabaret on Broadway, we did it at Studio 54, and my dressing room was that actual room on the fourth floor.
In that room, and it was haunted.
Spooky. Yeah.
Was it haunted?
Yes.
No. No.
And it wasn't haunted, but it actually had a good energy to it.
You hung out, Ron. You had a club in New York, though, that you frequented.
Well, I would go to like I said, I couldn't get into Studio 54, so I went to a place called Studio 52, and it was a couple blocks down, and you know, it wasn't the same crowd. I mean, I hung out with like Ed Koch and a couple of the guys from Sha Na Na.
Oh.
You know, it was all right.
You
didn't have to get there early because it was never full.
No. He liked dancing.
Ed could really cut a rug.
He loved it.
But I got to be honest, my pride was hurt that I never got in. And this happened to me right in front of Grace Jones.
Oh, my God.
And she laughed at me. But and I've never told this story, but I got back at the Studio 54 people. I called some buddies in the IRS, and I just made up a bunch of wild stories. And I told them, you know what? Go. They've got cash hidden in the ceiling and a safe, you know, filled with like 300 Quaaludes in it. And I just, you know, I made up a bunch of crazy lies. I was angry.
You were the reason for the demise?
Well, and then it turned out to actually be true. So.
God, how did you even know?
I don't know. It was just a wild swing, and I happen to be.
So, you know, right. And I don't know. I have mixed emotions about that.
No, because, I probably shouldn't have told that story. But
well,
it's too
no,
late.
I won't. I mean, it's what's done is done. But it also, you know, you sort of go like, oh my God, that was an institution, and you brought it down.
I brought it down. I did. Yep.
Which, you know, it was the right thing. I mean,
well,
we were.
You know, it was going to run its course eventually, but yeah. I brought it down prematurely. Probably could have had another 30 years.
But maybe that was good. Maybe it's like, you know, when these people die really early, they get to stay
young.
Well,
thank you, Brooke,
forever.
Because I've had some sleepless nights over my behavior, but now you're easing my conscience.
Yeah, I never am not good with regret.
Yeah, I don't have time for regret. I'm just like Mary J. Blige. No drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you always say.
Yeah.
So you're at the height of your celebrity. You're on magazine covers. You're starring in movies. And then you went to college. Why?
Because I had always wanted to go.
It was a good school too, Princeton. That's like a really hard school.
It's a very hard school.
So you do all that work. You're already rich and famous, which, you know, which I think we all know fulfills absolutely everything in a person's life. What was missing for Brooke Shields that you would make such a crazy decision to attend college with normal, boring people? I just can't imagine it.
I think I had the vision and the sort of foresight to know. Now, maybe because I had been working for so many decades by that point.
And you were burnt. You're burnt out.
You know, too. Yeah. There's a sense of it wasn't something I was striving for. It was something I had done all my life. So it was not as much. I just assumed I would always continue it. But I also knew the way the industry breaks you down, the way it tries to attack you for everything.
Ugh.
And now, I mean, I don't even think I could handle it if now with social media, but the idea of attaining something that could not be taken away from you and was arguably threatening to people was really exciting to me. And 4 years of just being in one environment and this beautiful setting. I mean, I had it. There was a dream quality to it for me. You know, I wanted to go to a old Ivy League college that
sure.
had ivy on the walls and, you know, football games. And so there was definitely...
Deep in the heart of Texas, right? Ivy League are mostly in the Southwest. Is that correct?
Oh, no, actually. On the East Coast.
This was in...
Princeton's in Baltimore?
Jersey. New Jersey, yeah.
Oh, New Jersey.
I noticed, though, my first... press conference after I'd been at school for a semester.
Right.
They didn't like me having more articulate answers.
Oh, very threatened.
They were threatened. They sort of wanted little Brooke again.
Sure.
And they wanted to catch me in things. And it was fun to sort of play around with them in a way.
So a very empowering time for you. Mm-hmm. A sanctuary.
It was.
Sorts.
And it was fun.
Yes.
Do you ever want to say, and this is a serious question, when someone's bugging you?
Well, my questions have been serious.
I know, but
Okay.
I just
no, but just when you phrase it like that, it makes like I stayed up all night to do this research. Anyway, go ahead, Carolina.
Okay.
Do you ever want to say to someone when they're undermining you, or just do you ever want to just say, "F you, I went to Princeton"?
I
didn't go to an Ivy League
it.
School, but I would say that if I were
She went to a real shithole, Sarah Lawrence. So
Sarah Lawrence is not a shithole.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not hearing good things lately.
No, it's a very, very good school.
Sorry,
I
interrupted. Go
my...
ahead, Brooke. Go ahead.
No, you know what's even better is just thinking that and then not reducing yourself to their level.
Yes. But you're so much more emotionally mature than I am, because I would just, I would hammer people with that as soon as I walked through the door.
Overtly, I won't ever throw it in someone's face, because I think by doing that, you've weakened your position because you've gotten petty.
But you could always wear a jacket, and then if they're being rude, unzip it, and you have a Princeton shirt underneath.
Yes. Or just
right, or like scratch the side of your face, but have your class ring showing. Do that a lot.
Or have the fight song queued up on your cellular device, ready to play at any time.
And say, oh, sorry, that's just my school
that's
song.
That's just the theme song.
Sorry.
I'm turning my phone off.
My bad.
Wow, I wish I'd gone to college.
You didn't go to...
You've taken some online courses.
I took some online, Phoenix University, yes. Before they were located in Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
So, can we talk about the Brooke Shields Timeless Collection for a moment? You're doing that with QVC, and
yes.
I'm just saying, you know, maybe you could introduce me to some of the folks at QVC, because I'd like to launch my own fashion line, but they're not returning my calls.
Ron has been doing some sketches on some scrap paper. It's a lot of just pants and
pants. It's
and
a
shirts.
It's actually a line of formal wear for infants. A lot of tuxes and ball gowns.
Oh,
there's some very rudimentary sketches.
I mean, it makes the Met Ball look like an episode of Hee Haw. You know. So,
wow. You know, what's good about that is that especially if the kids can't walk, you don't have to worry about shoes. And that sometimes can make or break an entire outfit.
Thank you, Brooke. Yeah. Thank you.
I can introduce you to some of the creative team. They are a...
Give me names right now. Can you give me names and phone numbers right now?
They're in Philly. I'll put you in touch with the right people. I think that it's a really amazing team of people.
So why won't they get back to me?
You've just been mailing them in with, I mean, maybe we should just start getting on the internet more.
You know what? Maybe
and
I should
see
just
what that...
try to sell a deep fryer or a panini oven or something like that, because maybe the fashion game is not in me.
It's only baby clothes or it's a deep fryer?
Baby clothes or bust.
Okay.
Well, you did say ball gowns, but...
Yeah. Baby ball gowns.
Baby ball gowns.
Baby They're ball gowns. Maybe pet wear.
Made.
What about pet wear?
Pet wear. Okay. Wait. Hold on here. Let me write this down. Pet wear.
I could see that. Ron Burgundy pet wear. It has a nice ring to
if
it.
If you can get me in with the QVC folks, that would just... And I won't expect anything other than just a conversation. So, Brooke, that would be hugely helpful.
Absolutely. And I think if you started with pets, there's such a... It doesn't matter, masculine, feminine, you know, it's there's such a big, big audience.
Well, of course. My best friend is my dog, Baxter. So I know everything
Baxter,
about that.
Yes.
Brooke, let me, you've been such a mental health advocate over the years, and I know at times it's been very difficult, both personally and publicly. And I just want to take a moment to commend you for your bravery with that. But I'd also like to ask you if you have a number of a therapist. It's not for me, it's for Carolina.
Oh, my God. Ron.
No.
Yeah, that's a very personal.
Well, I'm trying to help you, Carolina. I really think you should see someone. It's just sometimes it's like you're trying to undermine me or sabotage the work I'm doing on the show. And I think you should talk to a professional. A professional recommended by Brooke Shields.
Ron, how am I trying to sabotage you? That seems so weird and paranoid. Maybe you should see a therapist.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Or what about like a marriage counselor, but for people that have to work so closely to each other, you know, maybe you both
that would be amazing.
Get some stuff off your chest about the other person, but in a safe environment.
Maybe we go and I'll stay for the first 5 minutes, check it out, and then I'll come back for the last five.
I see what you're doing.
I can come in. I mean, I can mediate, but...
Brooke, you would mediate a counseling session between us?
That would be amazing.
I would.
Wow.
I told you I had it's a minor in psych, but.
You know what? You know, when we're in Philly together, we'll just time it there.
They have these quiet rooms.
Oh, perfect.
They have these quiet rooms at QVC because you usually have to sometimes stay there all night because it runs QVC runs 24/7. But they have these quiet rooms, almost like nap rooms in a hospital or something. And we could probably use one of those rooms.
Mm, perfect.
I think that would work great. But once again, just as long as we know the expectation level of me coming in for the first 5 minutes. If I like it, I'll stay.
Maybe we just both commit to staying.
Well, if I get on QVC, I'll totally commit.
Yeah.
Well, you've truly done it all, Brooke. I mean, Brooke Shields, much like Ron Burgundy, is a household name. You've met every celebrity there is to meet. Is there anyone you would still like to meet? Like, let me guess. Would you like to meet the guys from that band who sing the song Take Me to Church?
I would love that. I play that all the time.
Take me to church. I'll worship you like a dog at the shrine of your lies. You know, that those guys?
Yeah, that one.
Yes. I'd love to meet that guy.
I get giddy when I meet famous people.
I my life is dedicated in the pursuit of meeting famous people.
Ron actually recently has been just going to LAX airport.
And just hanging out.
Oh.
I follow the TMZ guys and just stay on their shoulder.
That's so smart.
And I'm just like, who do we got coming in today?
Yeah, I like meeting famous people. I mean, I think it's just, I still get starstruck. I mean, I was like that since I was a little kid.
The most starstruck I ever got was when I met Nick Nolte.
That was your most starstruck?
I was weak in the knees.
Interesting.
Wow.
And I just, I didn't know what to say. I couldn't even say anything.
Were you
just
scared of him? Were you?
I just gave him a bear hug. Gave him a bear hug.
And what'd he do?
And I just whispered into his ear, I'm so proud of you.
That's so unsettling.
Hmm. Are you mistaken for anybody ever?
There have been a couple periods of time where I haven't had a mustache. Very rare.
Mm.
And I've been mistaken for Rachel Maddow. But other than that, nope. That's good old RB in the house.
Wow. You're so iconically, you know, recognizable.
That's what we share. That's our common bond, Brooke.
Mm-hmm. The reference is often like, they'll say, well, you know, Brooke Shields, Ron Burgundy, they're both like one word.
Kind of in the same sentence. Yes.
Yeah.
It's nice to not be alone, actually. I mean, it's, for a while, that was really isolating to me growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But finding someone that's akin to an understanding what it's like is comforting.
Brooke Shields, we cannot thank you enough for visiting us today on the podcast. It has been an absolute treat.
Amazing.
Thank you for spending the time with us. Thank you for all your insight and views on life and your career. And it's been truly fascinating.
Thank you very much. Well, I will get those numbers to you as soon as I can.
That would be great. And for our listeners, if you haven't seen it, check out the episode of Super Fun Night featuring Brooke Shields. She's done so much in her career. But she was a guest star on that show, and she was terrific. And yes, if you could get me the therapist referral for Carolina, that would be great.
You know what? I'll take it.
Okay. I'll get a couple.
Thank you, Brooke.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. And we'll be right back with more on the Ron Burgundy Podcast right after this. Welcome back to the Ron Burgundy Podcast. This is Ron Burgundy along with Carolina. Here are my final thoughts. Today we talk to Canada's Brooke Shields, a class act through and through. And the one thing that was remarkable to me is her humility and grace, something I wish I had more of. If we could bottle that class and grace and dignity and give 97% to our world leaders, and the other 3% to Carolina, I guarantee we would solve the world's problems. So to the Donald Trumps and the Kim Jong-ins and the Alexander Putins out there, if you happen to be listening, try to handle yourself like Brooke Shields, and you might, just might, save the world. This is Ron Burgundy. Until next time, don't use public restrooms. The Ron Burgundy Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Funny or Die. I'm Ron Burgundy, the host, writer, and executive producer. Carolina Barlow is my co-host, writer, and producer. Our producers are Jack O'Brien, Nick Stumpf, Miles Gray, and Whitney Hodak. Our executive producer is Mike Farah. Our consulting producer is Andrew Steele. Our coordinating producer is Colin McDougall. Our associate producers are Anna Hosnier and Sophie Lichterman. Our writer is Jake Fogelmans. Our production coordinator is Hannah Jacobson. This episode was engineered, mixed, and edited by Nick Stumpf. Until next time, this is Ron Burgundy.